go into apologies, and I have apologies from Councillor Tim Dumper, Councillor Alex Sadiq, sorry, Councillor Bruce Desarm, Councillor Lynn Elson, Councillor David Poor, Councillor Joy Whips, Councillor Christine Channon, and Councillor Fred Cagle. Are there any other apologies, please?
Councillor Maddie Chapman.
Thank you. No others? Thank you, Lisa. So we move into public session. There are two people who have registered to speak. So when your name is called, could you please come up to the microphone? The first speaker is Jeff Crawford. You have 3 minutes to put your question to the councillor. Thank you.
Thank you, councillors, for letting me speak. Thank you to Ian and James for coming to answer questions today. And thank you to all the swimmers and public. You are probably going to be very warm very quickly. Exmouth is a year-round, all-season water sports destination. This is fundamental to our tourism economy. Communicating with Peter Blythe, the EDDC Beach Manager, and Jeff Young, EDDC Portfolio Holder for Coast, Country and Environment, we've recently become aware that the vast majority of the streets not being reported to EDDC and hence to the public and the water users. The environmental agency has confirmed to Peter Blythe that most sewage discharges that happen are covered by permit and hence are not considered to be pollution incidents. They are considered to be permitted discharges. This means that, for instance, in 2021, there were 74 known discharge overflows, but that only 11 of these were reported to EDDC and hence to the beach and water users, allowing Exmouth Town Council work to ensure that all sewage discharges are reported whether classed as permitted overflow discharges or classed as pollution incidents, and that there is a reliable real-time notification system in place to inform beach users of the current water quality year-round. Ideally, these sewage discharges should stop, but in lieu of that, the minimum that should happen is that the public are fully informed of each and every discharge at the time that it that they can make an informed decision as to whether to enter the water or not. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crawford. We know what we say, and we'll take that on board and look at it when we can. Thank you very much. It's now Councillor Jeff Trail, please.
Oh, sorry. This is from Councillor Channon. Apologies, she couldn't make it tonight. Thank you very much for coming. First of all, she'd like to know where is the pollution going into the sea? What are South West Water doing about it? What is causing it? And if it is the drains which can't cope, then it needs to be fixed. Not by ourselves, but South West Water. So that's those three questions.
Thank you, Councillor Trail, and I'm sure our guest speakers will probably pick that up in the course of the questions during the evening. I have no further public speakers, so we now move back into the Council meeting. So, move to item two, which is to confirm and sign as a correct record the minutes of the meeting of the Town Council meeting held on the 3rd of October 2022, which has been circulated. Can I have a proposer and seconder, please?
Pauline Stott and Joe Whibley.
Pauline Stott proposing, Joe Whibley seconding. All those in favour, please show.
It's Carrie, thank you.
That's Carrie, thank you all. Item three, matters arising from the council minutes for information only. Lisa, do you have anything to report?
No, there's no matters arising.
No matters, thank you. So we move to item four. Declarations of plenary interest and dispensation. Members to declare any interest they may have on the agenda and agree any dispensations to stay. Do I have any councillor that wishes to declare any interest, please?
Alan Whipps.
Councillor Alan Whipps, please.
Previous Southwest Water employee and pensioner.
Thank you. Any other? Can't see any.
No.
Thank you. Thank you for that. We then move on to item 5, to resolve that the press and public be excluded from the meeting during the consideration of item or items in part 2 of the agenda, as it involves the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in part 1, schedule 12A of the Local Government Act 1972. I'm advised that we don't have any. So we move on then to item 6. Can I welcome our guest tonight, Ian Bosper, who is Operations Director of South West Water, and James Hodgson, also Operations Manager of South West Water. Now, it's my intention to try and convene this meeting in a proper order. So, Ian will give a 5 minutes introduction, and then Lisa will kindly read the questions out that have been provided by councillors. There will then be a response from Ian or James, and if time prevails, if there's any clarification that you need, or you have any supplementary questions, they're kindly offered to take those on board. So, over to you, James. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'm Ian Mosper, so I'm Operations Director. Water, responsible for our wastewater operation, and as said just now, I'm here to answer questions that have been sent in about beach closures in Exmouth and impact of storm overflows. Firstly, thank you for the opportunity to attend. I know there have been lots of questions submitted, and I will answer each and every one of them individually in turn. Before I do that, I'm just probably going to give a brief introduction because a lot of questions are on a similar theme. So, firstly, storm overflows and beaches are a priority area of focus for us. We all live locally and don't want beach closures due for any reason, but South West Water employees due to our assets. And we want beach users to have accurate and timely information, picking up on the question that Jeff made at the start there. Now, our infrastructure is designed to meet dry and wet weather flows. They're all permitted, so there are permit conditions set by the Environment Agency. When flows exceed these permit levels during periods of heavy rain, they're held in storm tanks. When these fill, they're then screened before they spill over into the environment for a storm overflow pipe. 95% of this will typically be rainwater and do not cause any environmental harm, given the dilution. So picking up on the second question that was raised in terms of solutions. The system's existed for decades and is designed in a way to protect homes and businesses which would be flooded by the flows backing up in the network that would have nowhere else to go. Any time a storm overflow discharges, this is recorded by an event duration monitor, EDM, which records the start and stop time of the spill and the duration of that spill. Now, Exmouth is a combined system with flows from surface water, highways, foul sewers, all entering our sewers. And last night is a good example where there was a lot of rain, came down here to have a look, and lots of surface water in the system is overloaded. No amount of storm storage is necessarily enough, building Olympic-sized swimming pools and concrete storage tanks to capture all the additional flows and then treat it before discharge into the environment is not always feasible or not the right thing to do. We need a different solution, blend of solutions, additional storage, additional processing capability of wastewater treatment works, sewer separation, and sustainable drainage solutions. Sagas Water, we launched our Water Fit investment programme in April this year to invest an additional £92 million in improving environmental performance and specifically address storm overflows. We committed to going further and faster than the government's storm overflow reduction plan just published. By 2025, we've committed to reducing storm overflow spills by 50%. Have no more than an average of 20 spills per annum for storm overflow, and making sure we have 100% of our storm overflows monitored by EDMs, and that'll be done by December of this year. There's much more to do after that, but that's what we've committed to until 2025. So we're going to be doing this by increasing capacity of wastewater treatment plants, enabling more to be treated before a spill occurs. Installing new inlet screens reduces blockages at work, and also causes escapes and discharges. Upgrading and replacing pumps at pump stations so more flows can be pumped to be treated and reduce spills, and additional storm storage. And on the points around the reporting in real time, again, we're looking at how to provide more real time data for beach users. And there are a couple of questions which will highlight some of the challenges that that poses for everyone. In Exmouth, we're waiting for Environment Agency approval of a scheme that paves the way for an expansion to our Mare Lane sewer treatment works. If agreed by the EA, the current scheme would increase flows at the sewer treatment works CSO, but our plan is to have storm UV, so this would mean that all the discharges would be treated and wouldn't impact bathing water or shellfish water quality. Whilst we need Environment Agency agreement, we've already started preliminary work. People will most probably have seen the rig that is in the sea taking core samples on the new outflow. These improvements would include significantly improving the treatment capacity of Mare Lane sewer treatment works, which would reduce the storm spills from the sewer treatment storm tanks per 10 a year. So that's my introduction, and before sort of look at the individual.
Thank you for that, Ian. That was very useful. For the purposes of the tape, so it's absolutely clear. Lisa's kind of read out questions and then Ian will give a response. I've got 16 questions to go through, so it might take a little while to get through them. So, Lisa first, please.
Sally, so question one. Members wanted confirmation that the figures provided by South West Water to the Environment Agency are correct in respect of there being a total of 62 sewage discharges over a combined total of 882 hours into Exmouth Bay during 2020 from the combined sewer overflow. And that's the one that's situated on the Mare Nature Reserve. And that there were a total of 74 untreated discharges from the same location into the bay across 1,128 hours during 2021.
So this is information we give the Environment Agency annually, as we are required to do so, and it's published on our website by the end of March, typically. And the information quoted is indeed correct and agrees to the data we submitted to the Environment Agency. Information for this year, so for 2022, shows significant reductions in the number of volumes of spilled storm overflow. So at the 10th of October, that number of spills was 12 for a duration of 93 hours.
Thank you. Question two, please.
So South West Water's permits for storm overflow discharges around Exmouth and into the River Exe allow for a maximum of 40 discharges per annum because of its bathing water status, as we understand it, and the presence of commercial shellfish beds in the River Exe and its Exmouth Channel that are farmed for human consumption. South West Water's own figures indicate that this permitted maximum discharge limit has been breached significantly during both 2020 and 2021. What consequences, if any, do you anticipate South West Water facing from the regulator?
Okay,
So the 40 discharges is relevant for a trigger to for water companies to investigate, but there aren't any limits on spill numbers qualified under the EA permits for combined sewer overflows. Permits qualify the operating conditions, e.g. storage volume utilised, flow rate of treatment, which must be compliant with before any spill occurs. If a spill event occurs due to operational issues such as a mechanical or electrical failure, permits require us to notify the EA and if waters, the local food health authority. Surface water, whilst not required to under the permits, would also notify EDDC as the controller under the basement regulations, and particularly if a discharge might affect basin water quality. It should be noted that under the EA permits, that the EA permits do not require surface water to measure the volume of the discharge, only the start and stop date and time of any discharge.
Question? Oh, sorry. Question three?
I think quite a few members are concerned about the confusion that's caused by the two types of pollution alert system, and this relates in part to question one and question two. But as we understand it, the first is a prediction or forecast of a likely pollution incident that's linked to weather conditions and is displayed on the LED sign by the lifeboat station. The second system is via the South West Water Event Duration Monitor Instrument, which triggers by an actual overflow and is reported to the Surface Against Sewage app. However, these systems don't work all year round. They're only obliged to report from May to September and are manually reported, which may happen after 9 a.m. So, you know, we have a lot of swimmers that enter the water in the early hours. So feasibly, there are people entering the water and they aren't aware of the alerts. When can South West Water commit to upgrading the alerting system of untreated discharge events from the Mare Lane Waterworks treatment works and the Mare Road tanks by funding a real-time 24/7 system with a direct link between their CSO on the Mare Nature Reserve and the existing pollution event status board on the beachfront? And can you outline how this could best be achieved, please?
Yes, really good question and very important point, keen to address. So, as you say, there are two types of alert system, the EA Pollution Risk Forecast, PRF, and the South West Water's own Beach Live CSO warning system. The EA PRF system uses rainfall, wind, tidal and sunlight data for the river catchment, drained to a beach and operates between the 1st of May and the 30th. EAPRF alerts are issued once a day, as you say, between 8:30 and 9 o'clock on the morning on a forecast basis. Not actual doesn't mean that a spill is occurring or a pollution, just that there's a risk to water quality from a number of different drivers, which might be livestock, urban drainage, or runoff, or indeed sewage. And as the town council has indicated, a link to their e-sign. EA warnings are also emailed to Surface Against Sewage in their Safer Seas app and EDPC. Beach Live uses South West Water's CSO EDM data and already operates all year round, with warnings being issued in near real time. Beach Live sends warnings by email to the EA, Surface Against Sewage and EDPC when there's been a significant overflow from CSO that the EA has associated with the bathing water. Beach Live also issues withdrawal advice when there has been a full tidal cycle since the last significant overflow. EDDC as the beach controller under regulations can use this information to advise swimmers through public signage at the beach. This communication process was agreed with the recipients when Beach Live was established, as it allowed EDDC as a beach controller to make an informed choice as to whether signage was appropriate. appropriate. And picking up on the point just raised then, EEG should have spilled at midnight, be signed in the morning, if it is likely to have been fully dispersed by the time people may be swimming. Mayor Road, wastewater treatment works, CSO, which discharges off Strait Point, is not associated with Exmouth Beach by the EA, as it does not affect bathing water quality at Exmouth. Consequently, it's not included in Beach Life for Exmouth. Mayor Road CSO is included in Beach Life for Exmouth. Cyprus World Water is working on a trial with the RNLI at Pransock in Newquay on an electronic sign that can receive both the EA, PRF and Cyprus Water Beach Life data. This trial will include physical safety advice for waves and riptides as well. Cyprus Water and the RNLI are currently working on the language and imagery that will be used on the signs for waters. It is anticipated that this will be nationally agreed. Crossed out swimmer and language, risk to water quality used on current signs, with further qualification of the source of the warning, whether it be the EA, PRF, or the Cyprus Water Beach Line. The intention is to add public load to existing warning processes, and the RNLI are proposing some public consultation, stroke user acceptance, once operational. Subject to outcomes of this trial, this could provide a model for other signs. Also, given the Environment Act 2021 requirement, which has just come out, for reporting all CSO events within 1 hour may supersede the current beach life process. Cyprus Water is working through the detail of what is expected to be reported and how it will be reported as part of the wider national implementation of this Act.
Sorry, can I declare an interest? Because the RNLI has been mentioned.
Yes, thank you, Councillor Scott. Question four, please.
If members want clarification at any point, can you please raise your hand? So question four was raised by Councillor Frank Cullis, who said, on the 15th of August, Exmouth had its first proper rainfall in ages, and that night the Surfers Against Sewage app Safer Seas reported a sewage alert for Mare Rock, warning not to swim in the sea. On the 17th, the BBC National 6 o'clock news reported on the raw sewage still being discharged into the sea off Exmouth with a live report from our beach. Councillor Cullis's question to South West Water is, do you understand the damage that your company's dire record of discharging sewage into the sea off Mare Rocks is doing to our town's reputation and our vital tourism industry? Town Council believes it reasonable for South West Water to compensate Exmouth businesses that have been impacted financially by future sewage discharges from the Rocks and Fear Park. When could South West Water commit to this?
So, yes, I remember this particular event well, and I'll go through some of the facts and some of the issues with this particular situation that occurred that week. So, on the 15th of August at 17:47, we issued a warning of risk to water quality through Beach Live as a result of a 14-minute discharge at 17:12. This warning was withdrawn on the 16th of August at 10:28 as the discharge had ceased and had been a full tidal cycle since the end of the discharge. The EA then issued a rainfall-related pollution risk forecast warning on the 16th of August at 8:55 a.m., not related to the Beach Life spill, as a result of the rainfall overnight. The EA warnings remain in place for 24 hours unless a further PRF warning is issued. A further EA PRF warning was issued for Exmouth on the 17th of August at 8:55 a.m, again due to rainfall. There were no Beach Life warnings for Exmouth on the 17th of August. On the 18th of August at 8:55, the EA issued a third consecutive rainfall-related PRF warning for Exmouth. Again, there were no Beach Life the 18th of August. As the surface against sewage shaped sea duct doesn't differentiate between a source of warming and a PRF or surface water beach line would be signalled on the map of the cross and maintain CSO warnings for 48 hours after the CSO warning has been issued, despite tidal exchange and dispersion of any discharge or Sackles Water's withdrawal advice, surface against sewage app warning remained in place until the 19th of August at 8:55 when the EA PRF warning was changed and Exmouth was removed from a list of warned sites. Given how this app operates, the surface against sewage app operates, but it doesn't differentiate between the source of the warnings. There is a presumption by users that all warnings relate to the discharge of sewage by the CSO, when they do not. As a consequence, the BBC was and remains inaccurate. We are very disappointed, remain disappointed with the inaccurate and misleading coverage. It is worth noting as well that there have only been 4 beach live alerts all season, 4 Exmouth, compared to 15 last year. But the coverage has been very, very different this year. Sackless Water does consider all legitimate claims compensation in respect of loss of profit in the event of discharge being caused by a breakdown or failure of a Sackless Water asset, where that business can evidence both that it was directly affected by the event and its loss of profit. Where a discharge operates legally in accordance with its permit, no compensation would be legally due or paid.
Do you
want
any clarification? Yes, Cass?
No, I think it's fuzzy, to be honest. Considering the number of overflows recorded on your own website, I think the public have every right to come to the conclusion that a pollution event is down to you, considering your diet record.
Can I just ask that? You mentioned with the BBC and up there, I think you said that they were incorrect in what they said. Have you tried putting your side of the story to the BBC?
Yeah, absolutely. So, with any coverage, if it's factually incorrect, we go back to journalists. So, BBC didn't offer a retraction or an apology. Devon Live did. Their coverage was, we expressed concern about how it was presented. To be fair to Devon Live, at the bottom of their social media statement, there was a reference to it wasn't sewage related. But by the time we got to the end, I think the reader might have already made up their mind that it was related to Sackless Water. So it wasn't, but Devon Live did offer a retraction. BBC did not.
I think you were just making the statement, right? Councillor Kellis, you were.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Councillor Ollie Davies got his hand up.
Councillor Ollie Davies, sorry.
All right. I'm not sure if this is what I got for. I didn't think it was working when I came. You mentioned full tidal cycle. And obviously you make the assumption that that will have dispersed any pollution. Is there scientific evidence for that, and do you have confidence that that is the case and that it has been scientifically proven? Thank you very much.
Yeah, good question. I'm not a scientist, but in terms of the rules and principles around the policy, those are agreed with the Environment Agency. I can go back and find out specifically in terms of the scientific evidence. That those were the rules that were agreed with the Environment Agency at the time. I'll go by that, but I think I'll take that away and come back in writing specifically about the scientific evidence around that.
Councillor Ian Lynch.
In a lot of circumstances, the wind blows onshore, and I know in the past that has blown sewage back into the beaches. Is that ever considered when it's
So in terms of the way the system is set up, it will be done on certain principles that apply for every single one. I think if there is a suggestion that there is any sort of pollution or environmental impact, we would go out and investigate and take samples and respond accordingly. So we wouldn't, and we would report back to the EA as well.
Thank you. Next question is Councillor Park. Question five, sorry.
So this was a question that was posed by Councillor Rosser, but I think Ian's already answered the question in the previous answer. Are you, were you happy with that, or did you have a supplementary clarification?
To be withdrawn because some of the information put in it was inaccurate. But if I may, could I just following on from in 2021, 895.49 hours of discharges were not reported to the beach manager or service of sewage. So I'm just wondering whether South West Water should pay medical expenses and loss of earnings and damages, the damages to people who have suffered ill health from going into the water because they've been unaware of sewage.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the response to that question, similar to what's, I think one of the questions just now is around, you know, if there is evidence to suggest that we have caused any illness as a result of our actions, and absolutely we would look into that as we do for all complaints or indeed compensation. So.
Thank you.
So, question six. What steps are South West Water prepared to make to work actively along East Devon District Council to ensure that Exmouth maintains its beaches blue flag status? Clearly, this can be threatened by repeated discharges of untreated sewage by South West Water into Exmouth Bay, as seawater quality forms a key part of the criteria for achieving a blue flag. Aside from the recorded instances of overflow of untreated sewage from the Mare Road and Mare Lane facilities, South West Water suggested that increased pump capacity may be used to move sewage waters from Fear Park directly to the Mare Lane works and from there be pumped out to sea via the Sandy Bay discharge pipe. This is alarming as it represents an operation practice that will result in willful discharge of untreated sewage that may have a detrimental impact on local bathing water quality and Exmouth's blue flag status. Could you comment, please?
So, firstly, you know, South West Water fully understands and recognises its responsibility to ensure the protection of our region's bathing waters and the quality, including at Exmouth. And whilst not prejudging DEFRA's announcement on bathing water classifications due at the end of next month in November, South West Water's analysis of bathing water data to the 30th of September would indicate that Exmouth should be classed as excellent. End of the 2022 season. This will mean Exmouth has achieved excellent for 2019, 2021 and 2022. This analysis has to be confirmed and published by Environment Agency as an independent regulator report on bathing water quality. As you mentioned, water quality is one of the over 30 requirements for the Blue Flag. Others include standards for quality safety, environmental education, and information, provision of services and greater environmental management criteria. The modelling completed for the straight point discharge location for the Exmouth wastewater treatment works at Mare Lane confirms this does not impact on lake water quality at Exmouth Beach. Proposed increase in flow from Fear Park and Mare Road sewage pumping stations to Exmouth wastewater treatment works will reduce the operation of CSO related to those assets, thereby helping to protect water quality at Exmouth Beach. Any changes in the operation of those sewage pumping stations and discharges from Exmouth wastewater treatment works to Straight Point will be subject to permit reviews by the Environment Agency. But as I said at the outset, the before we got to the questions, our plans for extension of Mare Lane sewage treatment works with the Environment Agency is looking to reduce the amount of spills from that particular site to 10 per annum, which is in line with the Environment Act's requirements. And I think this year the spills from that site have been 4 times.
I think it's from a lot of the answers that you've been giving, it seems that there's lots of reference to the Environment Agency and how you're meeting the everything that they require you to do. And it seems to me that there's people here who don't think that's enough, certainly in terms of us receiving information. And you know, sort of all of the associated things that we've spoken about tonight. And just talking about blue flags and tourism, you can see how when a town gets a reputation, regardless of whether or not the BBC was correct or not, you can see that when a town gets a reputation for having events such as this that are unpleasant, you know, for the beach and for the water, that is going to have an impact on tourism. I mean, you do acknowledge that's going to be a thing. Okay. I mean, just in terms of the Environment Agency and you, is it, who should we be angry at? If there is reason to be angry, should we be angry at you, or should we be angry at them, or both of you or none of you? I don't know.
Okay. Happy for me to answer. So, lots in that. So, but I would generally, as a local person, very disappointed when I see beaches closed for any reason. I do want everyone to have open and transparent information about what's going on at the beach. I think one really important thing though is driving a lot of traffic is around pollution risk forecast issued by EA, which is just a forecast of rain, ostensibly. And as soon as that happens, we beach the signal was being closed by the Service Against Sewage app. The media get hold of it, and there's this frenzy when there's absolutely nothing potentially going on. So it's just a forecast, and we need to find a way for me getting around that particular point. Then there's the reporting of what is going on with South West Water assets that are impacting the coastal waters in Exmouth. And again, one of the things that we do, we have, just with storm overflows, about 11 million pieces of data that come into our service and support centre every year. So an inordinate amount of data, but we cannot just publish straight away as it comes in, because it absolutely needs to be validated. So one of the things that the Environment Agency want us to do, like you're asking, is to be reporting everything that they need to know about, but not absolutely everything. That comes with trust, but if we just publish every bit of data that came in and suggested there may be a spill, I'm not sure what the public would do with that. So at the moment, we go through a triage process to try and validate that 24/7. If it isn't able to be validated, it goes out automatically after a period of 4 hours. We always try and aim to validate it before that, but that is our backstop. Now the new Environment Act in 2021 requires companies by 2025 to report all data, whether validated or not, within an hour. And that is a huge amount of data to get out, but that's what companies are being asked to do, and that's what we're looking at. All of our EDM monitors are telemetry, so we have that data coming back to us every 15 minutes. The challenge is about making sure that it's real. So if a leaf went under a sensor, that would trigger and say it's a spill, and we must make sure that it's an actual, because we may make the position inaccurate. So I think we are saying we want to be open and transparent. Apologies if I've talked about Environment Agency as a reason for what we're doing. I think the Environment Agency permits are the minimum requirement that we are required to meet. And yeah, my breakfast meetings to all of our team are, that is a base minimum standard. The world has changed, and we need, we know we need to do a lot more for our community. So the commitments that we've made, and I know whatever commitment we make, there's always more to be done, is the furthest that any water company is going in terms of spill commitment in terms of by 2025. In Exmouth, we're looking at spending the 25 to 35 million in terms of this new expansion, which is going to reduce spills from the two pumping stations. It is going to take more flows to Mare Lane, and it will result in that works having to process more, but ultimately we're trying to get less than 10 spills per annum, which is in the Environment Act. And that requirement is by 2050. We're looking to do that as soon as we can. So we are doing all we can. And I think it's not something that can be turned around overnight. These things are quite complex, but there is absolutely a commitment to address the issue.
Next question.
Yes, please.
So question seven. Whilst councillors understand the permitted need for sewer overflow discharges during times of storms or heavy rain, comparative analyses of these overflow events against the duration of local rainfall indicates that the holding tank at Mare Nature Reserve overflows with onset of even the lightest rain, not just during the storm surges. What action will South West Water to take to prevent this from happening?
So, so part of the work I just alluded to involves reducing non-foul flows into the network in terms of infiltration reduction and subsurface water separation. These elements can't form a solution to spill frequency on their own, and as noted earlier, we're waiting for this confirmation from the EA we can pursue the expansion at Mare Lane. And if agreed, I don't want to repeat myself, but this would increase the flows of the sewer treatment works. But our plan, acknowledging we want to achieve less than 10, is also to have storm UV on the storm overflow. So this would mean that more of the discharges would be treated and wouldn't impact bathing water or shellfish water quality. Whilst we need the EA agreement, we have already started the work, preliminary work. And these improvements we'll see doubling the capacity of Mare Lane sewage treatment works, which will reduce the spills in the country.
So, following on from that, members believe that there's a design anomaly at the holding tank on the Mare Nature Reserve in that the flow rate into the tank appears to be greater than the hydraulic capacity of the outlet pipe. And this causes the manhole covers on the tank to blow, and because of the pressure build-up within it, we assume, which results in the release of raw sewage onto a SSSI nature reserve. This happens several times a year. We've got photos of when it happens. It's very unpleasant. Possible solutions could be to increase the flow capacity of the outlet pipe, to increase the pump capacity so that the tank can be emptied faster, or maybe to enlarge the tank capacity to build in greater system resilience, or perhaps a combination. When will South West Water commit to carrying out this work in order to prevent on-land discharges on a protected site, and when can it be undertaken?
Thank you. Surcharging manhole covers are an issue. We have 140,000 or so manhole covers around our region. We are looking at obviously ones which are close to waterfalls might have more impact if there's a blockage or indeed overload. So James and I went and had a look around last week. One of the things that we can look at doing is bolting down manhole, but this has a knock-on impact in the network in another place. So what we are doing is including some sewer level depth monitors, so we get an early warning that something might be going on, so we can arrange tankering to prevent pollution and escapes, whilst in parallel we're looking at a long-term engineering solution, given the comments which were made. But it's all part of that catchment work. We're But there are some short-term mitigation measures that we can take to try and prevent any escape from those manholes. I think the proposed overall improvements that we're looking at with additional pumping to Mare Lane sewage treatment works will also significantly reduce the likelihood of this occurring.
Okay, so members were sort of not only after a commitment, but also an indication of the time scale that you'd be working to?
Sure, so it's underway. So, so we have, have a storm overflow task force, if you like, so I've got them to look at. After, so it'll take 2 or 3 weeks to get the investigation concluded. I'm quite happy to report back on the outcome of that investigation. As I said, the sewer level monitors we can put in this week or next. So that will give us some short-term mitigation in terms of making sure that we can respond quickly in the tank for any excess flows if there is an issue. And as I say, I'll report back to the council in terms of the investigation.
Councillor Frank Cullis.
Yeah. In your opening statement, you talked about capacity. You just talked about the mailbox capacity down there as well. This summer, we had an incredibly dry summer. First sign of rain we had caused an overflow incident down there. What capacity actually is there down there? Because it seems to be next to nothing.
Yeah, so again, in terms of answer precisely, I'll come back as a matter of record in terms of that storage that we have. At Mare Lane, there are four big deep tanks. I don't know if you've been up there. Some people have. I know it's been to site. Mayor Road is storage is under the car park, but I'll get back to an exact storage size. As I said, the one of the issues that we have to look at is around, and again, part of this catchment work is around infiltration and water entering the sewage network and making sure if there's any way of making that water not enter the system. But in terms of the storage, let you know, but as I said at the start, we're not going to build enough storage to get us out of this in anywhere in the UK. There may be times where storage is simply the answer, but it involves building huge tanks at huge cost. That water, that rainwater's got to then be treated. That in itself is not going to be the answer. There will be a blend of solutions that we need to work on to ensure that spills are reduced to a minimum.
Well, what I'm saying is we didn't have any rain over the summer. And the first bit of rain we did get caused an incident. So how can you say to me you've got capacity when obviously you haven't? If it's coming up with the drains, if it's overflowing after the first bit of rain we've had after a season when we're in drought as well, it's causing issues.
Well, let's say every spill we have, we look into in terms of that recalls. The ones for there is around being told around infiltration, so that water from around the catchment migrates into that. We also have, I think again it's a later question around RSOP and suggestion around tidal infiltration, the recalling the spills of tide going in there. So let me give you exactly what the storage is, and you can see what that is and make your own mind up whether that's suitable or not. I think on that particular one, there's a suggestion around the size of the pipe as well, which may be an issue. It may well be blockages as well. As I said, we can invest in the very, very short term, very quickly mobilise monitors that can give us advance warning when there's an issue, so we can stop the discharge from occurring.
Councillor Brian Bailey.
Thank you,
Chair.
This comes as no surprise to us that the situation with your infrastructure is abysmal. I've looked at details throughout the whole of the southwest, and you've got so many plants in towns and villages all over the southwest that are failing. And they're failing dramatically. This is why you're bringing all the sludge and the raw sewage into Exeter via tanker, because the whole system is virtually on a stage of collapse. Now, why haven't you addressed it years ago? You knew this was going to happen. Your advanced planning is far as I can see, is absolute rubbish. So why hasn't it been addressed in the past, please? Thank you.
So in terms of paying sites, I think what you're referring to specifically, and I think comes up in a later question, is around the amount of additional flows, or sorry, sludge movements that come into Mare Lane as a result of some issues at Weir site and Kilburn. More than that, is it?
Well, according to your information, which I've read, a lot of your sites throughout the South West are failing to work up to standard. That's why you've got to tanker in from all over the place. Because the Countess Weir situation has been put right now, hasn't it? Allegedly.
Yeah, so I think we have, correct me if I'm wrong, 28 sludge treatment works, so circa 30 sludge treatment centres dotted around the South West with the responsibility of treating sludge. And to keep sludge movements as best we can to the areas where that's reduced. Now, when we have sites that go down, inevitably that sludge has got to be processed and go somewhere. And I acknowledge Exmouth has borne the brunt of those failures at Countess Weir and Kilmington. I think the other thing as well, it isn't always necessarily down to the sites failing and not working, is also about environmental protection and making sure again that we are compliant with all of our permits. More recently, we've had the Environment Agency. I said I wouldn't keep blaming them, this isn't about blaming them. This is about change of enforcement to the practice of spreading septic waste to land. The EA have clamped down on that now, and the result has been that South West Water is receiving additional volumes of septic tank waste from operators, mainly in the Cornwall area. So at Hale, there's a lot more volume that we're accepting there. That hasn't been the case in Devon. We are looking at developing a new strategy for sludge, which may involve the building of a superworks, if you like, which would take more of the region's sludges into one superworks for treatment. And that's something that's being looked at the moment. In terms of previous planning, I think the balance has always been for South West Water to make sure that in terms of business planning we do every 5 years, that it's, we are balancing needs of all stakeholders, regulators, customer bills and the like. I think dealing with sludge is it's an aggressive environment, and we're making plans to try and make that more resilient in the future. We've invested in councils we're implementing to address the issues that we've had, and we're hopeful that the volumes of the tank could sludge will reduce it. Elaine, from this point forward.
May I just come back for a second? Can
I? Yes.
Thank you. Allegedly, the reason why the sludge is coming to action is because the residents of Countess Weir complain considerably more than the residents of Exmouth. Now, is there any truth in that?
I don't know. I haven't heard that. I think for any residents close to the city, obviously we try and minimise our impact to those residents as much as we can. Councils where residents typically complain of odour as opposed to the amount of sludge treated at that site. So I'm not sure if I'd say yes or no to it, but we'll try and do everything we can to minimise customer complaints or
Councillor Whips.
Councillor
Alan Whips.
Councillor Alan Whips.
Oh, comment there. Knowing a little bit about the industry, in particular facilities you're talking about, can you hear me?
No.
Is this working?
You've.
press the left hand button.
Alan, if you on the side there's a scroll volume button, if you put it up to max, that should help.
Is that better? Right. So I know a little bit about the subject. And it's partly covered by the lead question, but the difficulty I see as an operator is that if you're transferring sludges from Gander Square, because of owner, you have a digestion facility at Gander Square. At Mare Lane, sewage works, you only have a line stabilisation pump. So the owners that are actually with stay with Exmouth for longer. Having brought it to Exmouth, you'll have to recycle it back to Exmouth. So it's coming into Exmouth and going back out. My understanding is greater and greater distances because lime stabilized sludge cannot be used in agriculture all the time. So it has to go to field storage. So it is an issue that isn't simply solved.
Yeah, to, yeah, maybe I didn't answer the question as well as should. The reason for the transfer site has nothing to do with agriculture. I was just explaining that normally in terms of the allocation, which I can't say is true or otherwise, was around that councils where residents typically complain of bank odour, nothing to do with sludge. Their complaint is around odour. In terms of the sludge product, of our process. There are stricter rules now, farming rules, rules which determine the product specification that has improved. So they're looking for a lot more stackability of our product, so that when it is in storage before it gets spread to land, there's no chance that that can become spread to land and cause a pollution. But all companies require volunteers to take parcel is assurance scheme, which does ensure that product is of a much higher quality. That can be spread to land at certain points in the year, and there are great rules around the storage of that product as well.
Thank
you. Right. Councillor Biggs, have a question.
Sorry. Oh, Councillor Eileen Biggs. Yeah, thank you. Can you explain to me what goes on in these smaller treatment works that you have along the coast? There's one between Budley and Ladrum Bay, the small one at Branscombe, because I understood it just all went to a huge place, was treated. So what do they do?
Can you hear me? So the more small and rural sites treat the sewage. There's normally sort of three stages of the treatment process: settlement, bacteria, secondary treatment stage, and then generally a sort of final settlement stage again. So that treats the sewage, which is then discharged as per the permit to the water course. And the sludge from these more rural sites is what we then transport into somewhere like Mare Lane or Carrollsville or another sludge treatment centre for further treatment of the sludge.
Right.
So that always is transported to one of our...
So it's like a small treatment.
Yeah.
So the liquid,
that's exactly what it is.
So the liquid, when it's a rural site, just go out onto the local farmland?
No.
Well, there's no river. Near the one between Ladrum Bay and Budley.
So that's our Otterton, where it's up by Ladrum Bay. And that flows are treated, and then they're pumped back out. It's gravity flows from there, back out to the sea.
Right.
So question nine, in a similar manner to concerns around the holding capacity and the situation at the Mare Nature Reserve, members have concerns that the sewage management system at Fear Park and Hartop also overflows regularly with a serious risk of sewage outflow into the duck pond area of the River Exe. This stretch of coastline forms part of a globally important area of overwintering waders and waterfowl. Will South West Water also commit to upgrading the tank capacities at Fear Park and Hartop to minimise the risk to the wildlife habitat? And when can this be done, please?
So again, Surface Water 3 recognises the international conservation importance of the estuary, given its designations, which includes Triple SI. The Fair Park or Hardtop Road sewage pumping station have any specific conditions in their permits issued by the EA that relate to these designations. But Natural England reports that 99.62% of the Triple SI by area is in a favourable condition, with only 0.3% reported as unfavourable or declining. All of the intertidal areas reported as favourable. The unfavourable area is lowland grassland, and as noted in various questions earlier, our planned improvements will ensure that Fir Park overflow will overflow less than 10 significant spills per annum on average. Work to reduce discharges at Hardtop Road is part of this overall catchment programme I've talked about a few times tonight, and will deliver improvements before March 2025. I appreciate that sounds a long time away. This is part of that bigger programme, but it isn't to say there isn't work we can do to mitigate that in the short term with snow level models, etc. It is part of that. Again, once we've reached an agreement with the Environment Agency over planned improvements, we can share exact timings of that work so it's clear on what we're doing.
Thank you. Can I just ask a question on the Fir Park? There's been a lot of work going on up there for the last couple of weeks. Is that to alleviate discharges, or is it going to be for odours, please?
Yeah, it's to alleviate discharges. It's upgrade of the pumping system, so increased flows from that site to Bailey. That's underway.
Thank you.
Councillor Alan Whipps.
Councillor Alan Whipps.
The rising wind from Fir Park has blown a couple of times and caused dreadful closure of the park at the far end and gross discharge of solids. In upgrading the pump station, are you revisiting the hydraulic analysis of the power surge up and down the main once it's finished? And when is that?
No, I can answer that. In terms of precise timings and stuff, I'll come back rather than guessing, because I'm not entirely clear. But you're absolutely right. Any investment that we make in terms of an asset-specific investment, we have to look at the wider catchment and understand there aren't any perverse consequences of that investment. And you're absolutely right. If we upgrade the pumps, there are potentially issues on the back of that if we don't take specifically on the rising main, I can't comment on what we've done in terms of a commitment on that. I do know that we are investing in 36 rising main replacements this year by March 23. So I'll find out if that is on the list and what other things we're doing. I might variable speed drive, etc., to make sure the pressures aren't increased. Come back on the specifics of the point, but absolutely we wouldn't invest in a pump upgrade by considering the long-term consequences of that.
Okay, that's question one. Question two. You mentioned by 2025. Is that before the bathing season 2025, so we can see potentially the problem we've had for the last, well, certainly this summer and the previous couple of years, we've got another two bathing seasons.
Yeah, so it's in terms of being precise, yeah, by March 25, so which is the end of, we look at everything in 5 year chunks, so yeah, it's the end of that regulatory period. And again, it's to make sure we are managing expectations and not committing to a timeline that is infeasible. But I'm tasked with finding solutions to issues.
Councillor Brian Bailey.
Thank you, Chair. Over the next 5 years, we're going to have a minimum of 1,300 houses forced upon us by the government in this area. So my question is, Ian, how are you going to cope with these new connections when it appears that you're failing to cope with the situation as it is at the moment? Thank you.
That is covered under question 13, so can we come to that one? That's okay.
Question 10.
So question 10 was from Councillor Tim Dumper, who's not here this evening, but he lives near Hartop Road, and he's asked what's going to happen to rectify the problem with the tidal backflow from the estuary, which comes up through the two manhole covers towards the bottom of Hartop Road near the pumping station, and when. At high tide and when there's a spring tide, for instance, which we've had a couple recently, residents' concerns are that the water comes up back up and they're worried that in the end the whole local sewage infrastructure could collapse. This is a recurring problem, and Tim would like to know what's going to be done to rectify that problem, please.
Thank you. So, James may want to comment. There have been investigations undertaken on sewage infrastructure in this area in the past, and a tidal valve installed on a outfall at Hartop Road sewage pumping station. Again, James and I went there last week, and this is an asset is routinely checked and maintained. There aren't any concerns over the ongoing operational serviceability of the system, and similar to comments that I've made earlier tonight, we are installing sewer depth monitors in these manholes to give us an early warning so we can tank them whilst we investigate what's causing the infiltration given the installation of the flap on the outfall. So we're taking operational mitigation measures in the short term whilst we find out if the flap is working or not, or what other issues there may be.
James, will you make any comment?
Okay. Question 11, which was from Councillor Mike Rosser, who says, whilst being pleased to read that in May 2022, South West Water completed work on a scheme to upgrade sections of the sewerage network in Dawlish, he would like to know when South West Water will upgrade its infrastructure in Exmouth to ensure that the bathing water and environment, including the Mare Nature Reserve, is protected against sewage discharges, both now and for when there is future development in the town.
Okay. So it builds on a lot of what I've said already. Proposed increase in flow from Fir Park and Mare Road sewage pumping station to Mare Lane and wastewater treatment works will reduce the operation of both CSOs and these assets, protecting bay water quality at Exmouth Beach. Any changes in the operation of the sewage pumping stations and discharges from Exmouth Mare Lane wastewater treatment works to Straight Point will be subject to further reviews and permit reviews from the EA. Again, I'm not sure how the spills compare to Dawlish this year. As I said, I think at the start, that spills from assets are a lot lower this year as a result of dry conditions that we have primarily. But again, it's something we're hopeful that the work that we're doing will address that issue. I probably haven't drawn that out in specific this question. So we're looking at the wider catchment and Mare Lane expansion by March 2025. That's a drop-dead deadline, but to manage expectations. In the short term, we're doing everything we can to mitigate risks, upgrading pump stations, sewer depth monitors to respond in advance of discharges occurring. And then once we've understood in the meantime, exactly how that's going to work as a catchment, we can come back in terms of the precise timeline.
Thank you very much. But will this work actually stop you having to discharge it to the sea and stop the overflow of the nature reserve? Would it put an end to it?
That's what we would like to do. As I said, in the short term, if we have the sewer depth monitors, we will know in advance of the discharge occurring so we can get down to their response. I can't say we're going to eliminate all risk, but that would be the ideal if we stop discharges to the nature reserve. We do have, there are, again, if we have assets that fail, we have pumps, we have standby on occasion, catastrophic failure when that happens, discharges do occur, but we absolutely want to get them to an absolute minimum. That's what we are focusing on. In theory, move all the flows to Mare Lane sewage treatment works, I can't give guarantees that there will never be a discharge to nature reserve. That is our intention.
I'm just once more. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I didn't really hear you say stopping discharges into the sea. I heard you say you would like to, in theory, but no.
So we don't, at the moment, the way the sewage infrastructure works in the UK is tonight we've talked about storm overflows, are intermittent discharges, which has been the basis of the conversation. But the vast majority of our discharges are continuous and occur every minute of every day. We're talking about storm overflows. We're trying to reduce those to an absolute minimum. There is not a solution at the moment that would enable zero spills in the UK. Great if we can get there, but we are talking about, in order for that to happen, you'd have to have completely separate systems for pump sewage and all other flows. And I don't think that is a credible solution. As I said, there's a variety of solutions we can put forward, but we can't. That water has to go somewhere, and the system is not designed at the moment in the UK to cope with that at all times.
I'm not asking you to solve the problems throughout the whole of the UK. Hey, I'm just wanting to focus on Exmoor, solving the problem down on the minute, stopping discharges, and all the sea there.
Yeah, so I was merely trying to illustrate what it's not an issue that Southwest Water is facing on its own. We do like to reduce spills to less than 10 in the catchment through the Mare Lane discharge. That's our target. Subject to Mare Lane expansion, yes.
Okay,
i.e. it's not enough. Okay. We have to agree right with it.
Thank you for that. We move on to question 12, please.
Yes, so question 12. The actual location of the sewage discharge outlet from Southwest Water's Mare Road and Mare Lane facilities is uncertain. Some documents suggest that it occurs from the concrete pipe to the west of Mare Rocks via Littleham Brook, as per the permit. Other documents that it takes place from the metal pipe at the end of Mare Rocks. None suggest that it's any further out to sea than these locations, both which are situated within 350 metres of the shore at high tide, and a much shorter distance than this at low tide. In addition, both locations are close to family-friendly rock pool and shellfish areas. ETC would like Southwest Water to commit to carrying out a tracer test, e.g. with a dye or some other marker, to ascertain exactly where the sewage outflows from the Mare Works takes place. When can this be done, and could it be done in the presence of one or more representatives of the council, please?
Okay, so again, sorry for any uncertainty in terms of information that's being supplied that suggests the uncertainty, I think if that still exists, I think we need to supply that to you. Mare Lane Wastewater Treatment Works and Mare Road Sewage Pumping Station CSO have two separate outfall locations. Permitted location for discharge is at the southern end of Mare Rocks, circa 228 from the mean high waterline. It would be practically possible to die trace the outfall line to confirm the exact location of the discharge point. In order to do that, we would need to seek EA permission for the dye release and ensure this is the case. As I said, we can supply exact location points. That has been subject to uncertainty in the past.
Could you just address the point about having representatives there to oversee it with you?
Yeah, if that's what you would like and that EA gives permission, then yeah, there's no concern with that.
Thank you. Councillor Brownbain.
Thank you, Chair. You referred earlier on to the works that was done in Dawlish to alleviate the problems. My information is that the works in Dawlish, the first time it was substantial rain, you had pollution problems in Dawlish still, where the works failed to cure the problem. Is that correct, please?
So, I didn't refer to the Dawlish works when I was question raised here. I don't think I've commented on Dawlish Works per se. I think the Dawlish Works was part of a water industry national environment programme, again, agreed with the Environment Agency and Ofwat last AMP, pre 2020. I'm not sure of the driver of that investment, whether it's solutions or it normally has a specific driver, I suspect, maybe more quality rather than pollution. But again, I don't know the specifics up here today, so I can come back and ask that question if I take action.
Okay, thank you.
So, question 12. How feasible is it for South West Water to use the CSO at Sandy Bay rather than one at Exmouth Beach as their preferred discharge point for their Mare Lane works, as it's 1.8 kilometres offshore rather than the Mare Rocks outlet, which, as we've previously stated, is between 100 metres and 350 metres from Exmouth Beach? And when can this be put into practice?
So this is, as I said, what we are planning and the modelling completed for the straight point discharge location for Mare Lane works confirms this does not impact on bathing water quality at Exmouth Beach. Proposed increase in flow from Fir Park and Mare Road to its pumping station to Mare Lane wastewater treatment works will reduce the operation of the CSOs related to these assets and thereby protect bathing water quality at Exmouth Beach. Any changes in the operation off the sewage pumping station and discharges from Exmouth Mare Lane wastewater treatment works straight point will be subject to permit review by the Environment Agency.
Members happy with that?
Councillor
Andrew. What date for that payment?
You won't like my answer when I say it's part of the expansion we're looking at by March 25.
So March 25.
Okay. So the next set of questions relate to the transportation of sewage in tankers through the town. So question 13, we've heard that South West Water has been accepting connections from new residential developments across Exmouth, despite the sewer system demonstrably not being able to cope with the current loading. More than 400 additional residential households have been added along Douglas Avenue alone within the past 10 years, and our emerging local plan forecasts an additional 1,033 homes over the life plan of the emerging local plan. When will South West Water commit to incrementally expanding its sewer pumping and storm tank capacity in Exmouth so that it can cope operationally with each added new development, rather than simply dispersing new householder income streams into dividend payments to shareholders and senior management bonuses? Going on past data, unless something's done, more connections to South West Water system going forward are likely to result in a greater number of untreated sewage discharges at Exmouth.
As many of you will know, Cypress Water isn't a statutory consultee under planning, so whilst we're consulted on any proposed developments, any advice we provide doesn't have to be followed. Cypress Water does have does assess asset capacity as part of any proposed developments and can seek to delay development where capacity upgrades may be required. Given this, there is a legal right to connect to a public sewer of a similar size or bigger than that from a development, at any development within a reasonable distance of a public sewer. Consequently, Cypress Water cannot refuse connection. Cypress Water is under a statutory duty to support economic growth and development, which includes housing. Furthermore, Ofwat, our economic regulator, expects water companies to proactively look to development through timely improvements to infrastructure whilst not creating excessive headroom. As part of the changes to charging in 2018, Cypress Water no longer receives developer contributions but does receive infrastructure charges which are used regionally to improve assets to facilitate development. Given the nature of the development, which can be speculative, iterative, and may be delayed due to funding or other constraints, it would not be practical. Actually pragmatic to undertake iterative asset capacity improvements on a development-by-development basis. Under building regulations, all new development should have fully separated surface and tile water. Consequently, the additional connection should not result in increasing flows under storm conditions. Stormwater flows generated by rainwater, highways and roofs entering old combined sewage. There's also a new undertaker, Integrated Water Networks Limited, operating as a separate company for water and sewage company in the Goodmalls Farm area of Dinham Way as part of that development. They then act as a wholesaler and retailer for these services and have the same statutory powers as Cypress Water.
Did you want to come in there, Brian?
Thank you,
Jack.
I hear what you're saying, but I can't see how it's going to, the fact that stormwater is separated, I think that's a good idea, but the amount of houses is going to be, in 5 years' time, according to our local plan, way over 1,000 extra houses. Now, that capacity alone, at the moment, it appears to us that you can't cope with. You can't cope with what you've got. So even though you're legally obliged to offer a connection, you can't turn it down. Under the law, which is rather foolish, not your fault, it's the law that's foolish. If you're over capacity, and you know you are, but you're still legally obliged to take it on, it's only going to lead to greater and greater problems. And that's the largest town in East Devon. We think we deserve better than this. And you're a resident, I assume, in this area. So it's going to affect you and your family as well. You know, your children will be on the beach swimming and paddling, and all of a sudden they'll be seriously ill, like a lot of children have been this summer. So it doesn't make any sense that you're still taking on units, all these extra units, knowing that it can't be dealt with.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, so you raised a few points. I think we agreed that Cypress Water cannot refuse to accept a connection. Other than in my response, I did say that we can't treat flows, we can delay to allow us to make necessary upgrades to receive those.
Is that through a Grampian condition on a planning application? Is that what they call a Grampian condition?
Possibly, again, I don't know. Developer service is not my expertise, I'm afraid. Again, I think in terms of that forward look projection, again, the expansion we're looking into Mare Lane would more than cope with those additional flows that we're talking. You know, we're talking about doubling the existing capacity of Mare Lane, which would be more than adequate in terms of those very base flows. Yeah, the reason for the expansion in Mare Lane is not about the receipt of additional power sewage. It is about meeting our ambition, targeting our ambition to have less than 10 spills.
Can you put a timescale on that, please? When that will be done?
Yeah, which bit of...
the expansion of Mare Lane works so we don't have the problems we've got now.
Yeah, so again, it's something I've said repeatedly tonight, we're working towards March 25, so we can, which is a bit that's ongoing with the Environment Agency.
Okay, thank you very much.
Councillor Brian Toy.
Councillor Brian Toy.
Yes, Sacamores, as the French would say. In the good old, bad old days before you lot were privatised, South West Water took pollution so seriously that they imposed a sewage embargo on all new developments until they were able to cope with the extra load on the system. Now, I don't believe that you'll be able to keep up with the developments going on in the town. I mentioned the developments in the north of the town, but we've got residential homes increasing faster than sea pollution. And that's all going to add stress to the actual system. So would your company seriously consider some form of sewage embargo until you can meet your obligations?
So I'm not exactly sure what a sewage embargo would mean, sorry.
You want to expand on that, right?
Well, that's not good enough, is it? I mean, no. You are in a club of quite a number of water companies that are also facing these problems. That makes you a very, very strong liberal lobbying force. There's lots of money involved. Government takes a lot of notice of government money. And it's very easy to blame the problem on somebody else, which is what politicians do. Mm. But this is a serious problem. You say you're interested in the economy. Well, you're damaging the economy by allowing this pollution to happen. So I think a sewage embargo would be a very seriously helpful thing to do.
Yes, I mean, in terms of lobbying government, we do through our own interactions with government. I think we've had meetings with the new Secretary of State for Environment since the change of government, and are looking, trying to make government aware of some of the issues. So we do lobby on things like Right to Connect, but we do not have powers. We can lobby, and we lobby as much as we can. There is something that's coming called, you may have heard about neutrality. So new developments are now subject to rules where the discharge, if a new development means a discharge that you're making harmful to the environment, that certain conditions would need to be made before that development can occur. Again, I'm not familiar in terms of Exmouth, but certainly there are two areas for the Axe and Camel that fall under those issues at the moment, where developers are required to put in conditions that ensure that the new housing does not damage the local environment and water courses as a result of the additional power sewage from those sites. So that would cover, that's a similar thing that's underway. We will definitely continue to lobby government along with the rest of the sector. I think at the moment the water sector is being asked to do more and more by governments. So how much government would listen to us, I'm not sure. But we are responding very quickly and at pace to improve not only the environmental performance that we have, but also the resilience of our water business as well, in particular with the hot and dry weather over the summer.
I'm not sure the government's in any position to be able to subsidise anything at the moment whatsoever. You're facing massive fines from Ofwat. That reduces your profits, that must reduce your ability to make investments. So it's all working in a very negative circle, in my opinion.
Councillor Pauline Stockton.
Thank you. A few years back, they put an embargo on development in Lipstone, and they weren't allowed to build any more houses until the sewer had been upgraded. So embargoes can be put on developments. But I was quite interested to hear you saying about Goodmore's Farm, a private, did you say a private water company? So surely they go into your sewers.
Yeah.
So how does that work? Sorry.
The simple answer is it's quite complicated, but essentially any company could look to provide services to for a new development, but they will ultimately connect into our sewer and pay a charge for that.
I don't think Alan's got any questions. Sorry.
Councillor Ollie Davey. Thank you, Chair. You've mentioned the 2025 date a few times, and this has been set by the Environment Agency. I'm looking at their report on environmental performance published on the 22nd of July. It said two companies. Performance fell to one star, the bottom of our star ratings, meaning their performance was terrible across the board. It's the Environment Agency using this kind of language, and that was Southern and Southwest Water. Your environmental performance assessment was one star for the past year, 2021. So my question is, what do you expect to get in 2022, and where do you hope it'll be in 2025. Similarly, on progress with environmental improvement schemes, you were given a red rating, again, the lowest of all of the water companies. So, again, what do you expect to get next year?
Okay. Yes, so a few questions there. So, yeah, you're referring to the Environment Agency, it's environmental assessment. Published every year, and it's based on six measures in the report that you're looking at for 2021. And they cover category 1 to 2 pollutions, which are the most serious pollutions, category 1 to 3 pollutions, self-reporting of pollutions, discharge compliance, something called secure supply demand balance index, and the last point around the water industry national improvement programme. And depending on how you perform on those measures, will give you a star rating, one being the poorest and four being the best. Southwest Water has made a commitment to become a four star company by 2025, which is the end of the regulation period. So that specifically as 31st of December 2024. Now, the key area that is a challenge for Cyprus Water is the pollution. So, for us, we talked about Exmouth being a designated bathing beach. Cyprus Water has a third of the designated bathing water beaches in England and Wales. The impact of that is any pollution that we have with near a watercourse where we have beach signs put up preventing the use of the beach as a result of our assets results in a category 2 immunity pollution. So we have a big risk of that occurring, and that's been something that's a real challenge. In terms of absolute numbers of pollutions, we're not the worst, but we do struggle with immunity pollution. That causes us a red assessment on that measure pretty much every year on the Environment Agency's report. If you have any one of those six measures that are red, the most you can achieve is a 2-star rating. So we have to be perfect on all of those. And we can only have one category. category 2 amenity pollution, which, if a manhole first sat here tonight, outside of agency, but in the summer, and that entered the water course, causing a beach closure or a canoe company not to be able to undertake their activities, we'd have failed and we'd be 2-star as a result of that. So we're looking at, in order to try and address that and show some meaningful movement, we're looking at proactive rising main replacement near water courses, manholes, sewer depth monitors so we can get early signs of potential issues. I'm pleased to say that the performance this year is better, significantly better than last year, which, although we got a 1-star assessment on pollutions, our pollutions were a fair lower last year, but it was still not enough to get avoid a red assessment. So that's our focus. We've got a pollution plan that we meet the Environment Agency every 3 months. We meet National EA every 6 months formally with DEFRA and MPs and go for our performance. But you know, it's a thing which we take very seriously and looking to improve. On the red on the wall, the Environmental Improvement Programme, that's a mixture of hard physical delivery of assets that you've been required to do, like the gorge skin that was referred to before, or indeed investigation. So a number of the aspects that we failed last year were desktop evaluations that weren't signed off by the Environment Agency. There were 9 of those that weren't signed off, which caused us to get a red assessment. We made some changes this year to ensure that the Environment Agency get all the information they need well ahead of time to respond to any issues. So we're confident that we can reverse that assessment and work towards at least a 2-star assessment this year, 2022, with a glide path through to 2024. But our performance, the way that methodology is set up, is that we are always at risk of having a single Cat 2 event in any year by nature, just being a rising main going next to a water course for whatever reason. So we're doing what we can to avoid that so we can get a 4-star assessment. Rest assured, irrespective of those metrics, we are looking to improve all of our environmental measures and yet hopefully achieve a 4-star assessment from the Environment Agency.
Thank you. Next question.
So, question 14. South West Water's own figures indicate that more than 3,000 HGV journeys were made through Exmouth and Mare Lane during 2020 for sewage sludge imports and to provide operational support to the Mare Lane treatment works. This figure rose to more than 4,000 HGV movements through 2021 and higher frequency still in the first quarter of 2022. These HGV tanker movements have a considerable environmental impact on our town along their route, ranging from significant noise and air pollution, demonstrable road damage that local authorities had to remedy, to added risks to pedestrians and cyclists, in particular along Mare Lane, where these HGVs touch the bushes on both sides of the road as they pass. Such issues are known to affect the mental health of residents along the routes of these heavy vehicles. What action can South West Water take to stop, or at least greatly reduce, these HGV numbers, and by when can these be achieved, please?
Okay. Picking up on a number of things we've said tonight. So, Mare Lane is a strategic sludge centre for treatment of sewage sludge. And this is a practice that isn't due to stop, and it is critical in our operation. That said, we do always endeavour to use the most logistically economical site to reduce carbon footprint and impact on the community. We have provided figures under environmental information requests, which show that in terms of annual movements, they've from 2018 increased from 780 through to 2021, which was 2,002 movements, with a forecast in 2022 of 1,081. The averages in monthly terms have increased from 65 in 2018 to 167 in 21 and 154 in 2022. As we said earlier, the loads into the site have been increased in 2021, largely due to the improvement work required at Kilmerton and Counterswear slash reception centres. Counterswear is now complete and receiving loads. There have been some further delays, unfortunately, in the commissioning of Kilmerton Largesters. However, we will soon be in place to receive sludge loads there again. We've also made an improvement into the sludge dewatering system at Mount Lane, which has enabled it to treat more sludge than it did previously. In terms of numbers, it anticipates that the number of loads into Mount Lane will reduce by 50%. And this is to be achieved through a combination of increased usage of alternative sludge sensors and improvements made to the network talked about earlier, which will mean a reduction in reactive tankering from within the catchment. And that's before, I think I mentioned earlier on another question around the consideration of a different sludge strategy with the creation of a super works plant. It's just one of a number of options being considered at the moment.
When do you anticipate a reduction of 50%?
Right. So I think the 50% is when Kilmington Largesters are back on receiving loads there. James has got an exact date on that, but we can come back to you specifically on when that will be.
Thank you, Chair. I've been in transport for 30 years. Transport's very, very expensive. I'm just considering how much it's costing your company to pay Gregory's to move all this sludge. It's a considerable amount of money, which would go to providing your central storage facility and processing facility, which you talked about twice tonight. Now, how far ahead of are your plans? Is that just pie in the sky, or are you doing something significant about it, please?
So we are. By March of next year, we would have landed our sludge strategy, which will be beyond 2025. So we're looking at our sludge strategy for the next 5 years. So we're evaluating options. One of those is a superworks on the A38, amongst other options, which again are blended solutions. That will conclude in March. That will form part of our business plan submission to a regulator in October of next year, and we will receive effectively a draft and a final determination for that in the following year, where we would look then to best from 1st of April 25.
So hopefully by 2025 all these structures will stop.
No, I mean the truck movements won't stop. I think what we're in terms of how so we have roughly 650 wastewater treatment works. If you didn't want any movements of any vehicles to do with sludge, you'd build a sludge treatment centre every site. That's very, very expensive even compared, which is just infeasible. So there will always be movements of tankers, chemicals, etc. We want to minimise those and be as efficient, but it would be wrong of me to suggest that they will ever stop. They won't. We do need chemicals at every single work, and we will need to move slowly. Now, there was a super work, there would be movements from to collect and from Exmouth, but there would be less than that they currently have. But it would be wrong to suggest that the tanker movements would stop in its entirety. Cars and tanker, the other thing would be to look at moving Exmouth wastewater treatment. But again, that's something that's also very complicated.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
this. I think you've partially answered this, but yeah. Question 15. Given that South West Water is unlikely to be able to stop their sewage tanking operation into and out of Mare Lane overnight, what is your expectation over the next 5 years for the number of these HGVs needing to access the Mare Lane site every month as support to your county-wide sewage treatment operations? And are you able to provide the total number of HG movements anticipated into and out of the Mare Lane works to include sewage sludge and treatment, chemical transits, etc.?
Okay, so I think I've answered most of the previous question, probably a couple of points. So I think it talked about movements overnight. Now, tankering activity should really only happen, and say contractually, when the works is manned, so Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. as a guide. Clearly we have reactive events happen, so if there's a pollution we need to manage flows, we will react whatever time of day or night that is to stop that pollution or minimise the impact of that pollution. So as a rule, it certainly would be overnight unless it was a reactive job we had to respond to or emergency. I think on the chemical transits, again, I've not picked up that in my previous answer. I talked about these were sludge movements, so again, I can respond, take that away to respond on the chemical transit one.
Okay, final question. And again, I think you've alluded to this on several occasions, but several South West employees have stated off the record that there are plans to expand Mare Lane treatment works. And as your own report states, that the current site has adequate operational capacity to deal with predicted future local sewage loadings, the inference is that the expansion of the site is solely to allow for more imports of raw sewage and sewage sludge from outside of the locality. And that fits with your comments of saying that it's a strategic sludge treatment centre, which is critical to your operation. So members are concerned about that and have asked if you can comment on it and outline your future plans for Exmouth sites over the next 10 years, please.
Yeah, I won't be very long. So I think it's, in terms of changes that we're making, basically with storm overflows still, they are not sludge or raw sewage related. That's not the case. So this is about making sure that site spills less than it does currently, and we're able to treat additional volume of flow in storm conditions to prevent spilling next. It's not related to the transport or sewage. There are plans to look at the sludge treatment centre aspect of Exmouth. This is by the site itself. So the existing site is able to handle current loads from catchment. Wastewater site does need to be able to handle more flow in order to treat storm overflows to prevent overflows from spilling, which is an over and above what the Environment Agency has asked. This is what we know we need to do. There are no plans to import sewage or additional sludge. Current treatment capacity of works is 273 metres a second. The upgrade is currently planned to take 546 metres a second, which and will be designed to allow for easy additions to treat 800 litres a second in the future, if required.
Okay. Councillor
Ollie Davy, please.
Can I just ask why you cited a major strategic treatment works, and I never realised Mare Lane was this, with poor access, such a location, and why not somewhere far more centrally? I'm just puzzled why you did that in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, I think a number of our sites you go to and go, well, why would you build it here? Yeah, I know Nuki very well. We have to go frequently for different ministerial visits, and give the same answer is that application, but there are often constraints about where and reasons why those locations are chosen. Often, wastewater treatment works will be near the coast, they can discharge to the water environment. That's why they're there. In terms of specifics on a site-by-site basis, like that, I don't know the reason why that location was chosen, but again, what you've seen there as well is the holiday site as well is expanded massively. Where those things would be predicted at the time, I don't know. But there's often a reason. No one ever really wants sewage treatment works on their doorstep. I get that. Ultimately, it needs to go somewhere. Wherever it is built is probably not acceptable to people living nearby. But yeah, we need to make sure we can do everything we can to minimise impact of that. And as I said, I didn't say it flippantly, if there are issues at works, it means that we need to look at either rationalising sites or moving sites. We will obviously do that, but it's not an easy decision that can be made. But we do look at around the region with 650 works that we have. Pros and cons to all of that. But yeah, I can look into why that was chosen, but I suspect planning will be part of it in terms of location, but I don't want to know.
Okay. Well, I think it's about 20 past 8. So I think, can I, on behalf of the council, thank you both for coming this evening. I'm sure there's still some more questions that need to be asked, but we appreciate you coming here and also taking on board the extra questions that were given to you, and we look forward to receiving your comments concerning the town clerk. And could I thank all councillors?